So on the injuries?
Actually, I haven't really had an opportunity to visit with Ryan yet. But I do know, you know, obviously that Charles has seen the doctor. News not good, so we'll go from there. And we'll go from there to see what else happens. I mean, I have not had the opportunity.
Done for the year round?
I believe so.
Will you sign someone out from outside or look at Lester?
Well, you know, Dave and I have talked about some of those things, so we'll finish up that conversation later today.
Josh, is that something that's probably going to keep him out?
We'll find out. He's going to go through the protocol. I believe he has an appointment actually right now, so he'll go through that.
How bad was Quinn?
It's probably, you know, this week will be very much touch and go from what I first saw initially. Again, like I said, I have not talked to Ryan about that one.
Right. What happens in the secondary for this week? What do you anticipate it looking like?
By committee. I think we have enough guys, you know, that will most certainly be able to put some guys out there. You know, we had Melvin down. The guy that I got to check on is James Dockery to see if he's ready to play or not. You know, he'd be the big question as far as guys that would be able to help us out.
What would your safeties look like if there were a game tomorrow? Who would be starting?
Well, most certainly Mike Mitchell would be one of them. And, you know, we got to take a serious look at DJ Moore as well as Colin Jones.
How do you think Colin did with his opportunity?
He did pretty well. He did some nice things. You know, one time he misaligned on the long run. You'd like to see him a little bit wider. That would give him a better angle and he can get the running back down a little bit sooner once he broke into the second level. But I thought he put himself in good position. You know, it was unfortunate with the call on Luke that he was in position to make the interception.
What did you see on that call? Did it turn out pass interference? It looked like he stuck his hand out there and kind of turned Stevie around.
He did, you know, but again, for as much contact as is out there that is allowed, you'd like to think that a ball that's thrown high that's, in my opinion, not catchable for that receiver, you don't throw the flag. But again, that's not for me to decide. I don't have the flag.
How crucial was that play to that entire
critical.
Drive?
Very critical. I mean, you know, the whole thing being, too, is again, it stops the clock, it moves the ball forward, it goes from the 31-yard line, I think, down to the 12 or whatever it was. And, you know, that was very critical because at that point, I think there was also 14 seconds left in the game.
Have you been able to see on the film, because the angles didn't really show it, Fred Jackson on the incomplete pass on that last drive and what happened there, that drop?
Well, you know, you'd like to think it was a fumble, but again, you know, it goes back to their interpretation of what a catch is. And again, it's, you know, it some people say it's a football move, some people say it's a catch. You know, he's got both feet on the ground, he gets hit, but we'll see.
Ron, also on that drive, it replays look pretty clear that DJ was making the call for a switch.
Yes.
What happened with the communication?
Apparently, Josh Norman didn't play it. You know. You know, it's one of those things. It's a critical situation. You get a communication. You see that you have the switch, and then you fall off. You know, you fall off looking for the number two receiver to run the seven like he did. And you'd like to believe that, you know, the call's made. You execute the call, and, you know, you're in position to help make a play.
Did he not play it, or did he not hear it, or both?
You know, that's something that, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of. And that's, you know, that's something that most certainly will be discussed.
Have you had your team meeting today?
Yes.
What was your message generally to your team after the second straight heartbreaker?
You talk about how close you are, and it's time to get over the hump. You know, we've done this before. We've been through this, and that's the thing that's disheartening. You know, you'd like to believe that we've gotten to the point where we've learned from these things, and now it's about getting these things done. You know, you come in, you battle a team on the road in their stadium, give yourselves an opportunity to win, you don't win it. You hold, you know, a lot of people's pick to go to the NFC, represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, and you don't get it done. And it's time. I mean, it really is. It's time for playmakers to make plays when they got opportunities. It's time for us to be in good position to where you close games out, where you don't have to worry about the last drive, the last second. That's what we need to do, and is, you know, we talked about, you got somebody down, you got to keep them down, and that one of the things we talked about was, again, being in the red zone, scoring touchdowns as opposed to kicking extra field goals.
Last year after the Atlanta game, that kind of took a few weeks to snap out of a funk of that loss. How do you avoid something like that again?
Well, you talk about what's coming up next, and you get right to it. And one of my messages to guys is, learn from this experience and just go forward. Know how we got to correct these things and let's go forward. Because we got the Giants coming in, and they're 0-2 as well. They're as desperate as we are. And it really honestly doesn't matter. What does matter is the next thing that's important. That's this game coming up. We understand it. We've got to win this football game. This is the Giants. They're 0-2. We're 0-2.
You are any concern on your part that your status will become a distraction at any point in time?
Because, again, the only thing we're going to focus on and talk about is this past game and the game that's coming up.
When you talk about step on the neck when you're up late, I know you said that you thought about going for it on the 4th-and-1. Going back, looking at the film, hindsight being 20/20, knowing the history.
Well, if you know what happened, yeah. If I knew, like you said, hindsight's 20/20, and most certainly would have gone for it. Just said, or you throw the ball, and take your chances of an incompletion. But, at that point in time, this early in the season, I don't think you throw caution to the wind or you play desperate. But, we're getting to the point where certain things, sense of urgency most certainly has to be playing into things. And this is one of those things. I mean, we're playing a game that's very vital to both of us. We both understand that coming into this game, and we both know we got to get it done.
Played desperate. One interpretation of it would be that you could have played to win rather than playing not to lose.
Right, and at the same time, playing to win, you kick the extra point, go up by 6. So now, or kicked field goal, go up by 6. Now they got a score to beat you a touchdown. And you'd like to think that, going 80 yards again, you'd be able to stop it.
On the third down call right before the field goal, 3rd and 5, and Mike called a run. Did, mm-hmm. Almost kind of to echo JJ, almost like you're setting up a field goal there.
Well, again, you sit there and say, well, were they playing you for pass? If they're playing you for pass, or are they blitzing? If they're blitzing you, they got 8 guys up in the box and they blitz you, they sack you, take you out of field goal range. So there's more ways to look at it, and there's a lot of things that you have to sit there and think about. I do think that the call was good enough to give us an opportunity to get a first down. It almost got us a first down. That's the thing that you talk about. And it's crazy because people want to talk about that last play, but sometimes it's not the last play. How about the play before when we got nothing? We get 1 yard and we run the next play, it's a first down. So again, it's one of the messages I told the players too. It's not about the last play, but it's about what set up that play, what put us into that position. You go back to a lot of things that happened earlier in the game that could have been the difference. We don't overthrow Ted. It's a touchdown. We don't give up a big run to put him in field goal position, before the end of the game. And now we have a 10-point, we have a 9-point lead. So there's a lot of things that play into it. And it's just not about one play. And unfortunately, this game's about 6-7 plays a game. They make them or you make them.
Last week when you were here, you mentioned that it wasn't just one guy, that it was each guy just kind of missing an assignment here or there. Talking to Steve Smith yesterday, he said that there are some guys on this team who just aren't executing. Which one do you feel it is?
Well, I feel it is that because, again, it's not necessarily, again, just one individual. And that's the thing. If it was one, you can replace the one. But if it's a number of guys, this guy here or that guy here, that position here, every now and then. It's not all the time. It doesn't happen because you can put the tape on and you can watch it. And you'll see that, unfortunately, somebody here makes a mistake. Somebody here makes a mistake. And, in this league, if you make a mistake, people find it. And it becomes critical. And again, a lot of them, they're not major mistakes, but they're little things. A run that could have been a 7-yard run is only a 5-yard run. If we make the block on that second down before the third down, D'Angelo pops through for 3 or 4 yards. So it's again, it goes back to, when you make your mistake or when you fail to do your assignment.
All the mistakes too. Some people say preparation. Some say just mental mistakes.
Some people say that the opponent gets paid too, and that's part of it. These are very good football players you're playing against. These are the elite in the world, and you got to give them credit too. On occasion, they make some plays. We struggle to contain Mario Williams. He had a big day against us. And again, you got to give him credit too. You'd like to be able to say that everybody can make that block against him, or everybody can make that block against their linebacker. But it's, you got to give a little credit to your opponent.
Talk about, this coming week, you got Eli coming in, and you got as many as five defensive backs that are were hurt on Sunday, the challenge facing you in that aspect?
Well, that's the challenge. We've got young guys that got to step up, but truth of the matter, too, is teammates got to rally around them. If we only start one new guy on that, or we start two guys on it, the other guys got to step up. The guys that are clear-cut starters, guys that are, you know, playmakers, got to make plays, and that's just the truth of the matter. You know, we're going to this game, and if we're starting two new DBs, the other nine guys have got to step up. They got to make plays. Our defensive line, our front seven, have to play well to give us an opportunity.
Weeks ago about how the secondary, the young guys were particularly rallying around him. How big is losing him back there now?
Very much so. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, since last year we moved him to free safety, he's played about as well as you would like to have a free safety play. He's put himself in position to make plays. He's done the types of things that you needed to do to have success. But the thing that you've seen more so than anything else is you've seen his growth. You see him doing things that a veteran defensive player is supposed to do, you know, giving false reads, giving bad keys to the opponent, disguising his coverages, moving in and out of coverages, and then communicating. And again, you hate to see it happen because a guy like him who's really found his niche, I believe, at free safety for us, you know, you'd love to happen, but we don't.
How do you think the team's done against tempo? Obviously, it seemed like they struggled a little against Philly, and not including even the last drive yesterday, but
right.
Just how they've done against the fast tempo.
I think, again, it's been up and down. We have our moments, and I think it's true for anybody. You know, and I don't know if it's any more reason that it's because it's tempo or just because, you know, it's the time where there's a breakdown. You know, the hard part as far as that's concerned, too, is just the communications, and that's probably the biggest thing we try to continue to work on is the communications because, you know, one thing you want to make sure you do is you've got 11 guys playing the same defense.
A couple guys in the locker room yesterday sort of talking about they don't know what to say anymore, not sure what the answer is. What is the answer? What do you tell them?
You tell them you go back to work. I gave them their options. Their options are to get through this today, show up on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then win on Sunday. Those were the options. Those are the only options there are. We're football players. We're football coaches. We come to work. We do our job. We do them the best we can. And just got to continue to work hard. We're close. We're very close. I mean, we took one of the NFC favorites to the hilt, had a chance to win. Now it's time to get over the hump and start winning.
And have you spoken with Mr. Richardson since yesterday's
game? No, not today. I spoke with Dave Gettleman earlier today. We talked a little bit about the game and talked about what our potential moves could be, but no.
But you don't have any doubts about your current job security?
Again, like I said, the biggest thing, Scott, I'm going to talk about is what just happened and the Giants game coming up.
About that Giants game last year, just what needed to change in the secondary that Eli was so able to do what he did?
I think the biggest thing is just challenging the receivers more. You know, you go back and you look at it, they picked on Josh Norman. You know, Josh had played well up to that point, and I think early on they made a couple of big plays against Josh, and Josh kind of got, I think he lost his confidence a little bit and played soft, and I think that got into his head. The thing we got to do is we got to be able to challenge him. Eli's a crafty quarterback, very good arm, understands defenses, and we've got to be on our game.
Finishing teams up in the fourth quarter, you know your team, your offense can move the football, your defense has stopped guys in the past, but finishing, is it an attitude? Is it different calls? I mean, the very defenses you played on had all kinds of attitude and finished teams off.
Right, and it is about confidence, and sometimes it's about having a little bit of luck, too. I mean, how many times did we see the ball get tipped up in the air and we didn't get a chance to make the play on the deflection? You know, step away from getting a sack. Step away from making a great catch. I mean, there's a lot of little things that play into it, and it's time. I mean, I'd like to believe that, you know, it's going to add up and give us our opportunities, and that's where we are right now.
On the last drive, I think they got out of bounds something like four times or something. Where were the breakdowns there? And I haven't watched the film. Did y'all blitz much on the last drive? Or?
No, we didn't blitz much on it. The biggest thing, when you get into the coverages we're playing, we have coverages where you're supposed to stay to the sideline. And you're supposed to work from outside in. And you're supposed to keep the running back in or the receiver in and make sure they cut back towards, stay, you know, keep them from getting out of bounds. And a couple times we lost our leverage, obviously, and they were able to get outside. A couple times I think we got a little deeper than we needed to be. You know, and because of that, they dumped the ball underneath, and the guy was able to run and get out of bounds.
not to belabor that third down call, and you said you didn't want to, you wanted to make them go 80 yards. Did the status of your secondary, the state of your secondary, weigh into the decision at all?
No, you know, as I said yesterday, you know, they're guys that practice and they get their reps and they get their opportunities, and you know, you got to be able to trust them on the field and call your game.
You mentioned close, and obviously this team's been very close. There are plenty of stats out there about that, but when is close not enough?
Last night, honestly. I mean, we had the opportunity. We were right there. But again, I think the truth of the matter is we got to get to the point where we don't have to worry about being close. You know, again, we take the ball away, we put ourselves in position to score, we got to score the touchdown. We can't give up a big run to allow them to get themselves into field goal position to make it a 6-point game as opposed to a 9-point game. Those are the things that you've got to do to make sure it's not close enough. And we have to do those things. We get those opportunities. We have to play within who we are and what our capabilities are and know those and understand them and then play the defenses. It's silly to look at a play and say it's the worst time for this player to make the mistake that he did. And that's what I mean by when I say it's not one guy all the time, because when you look at it and you see who made the mistake, you're sitting there going, geez, you know, he's too good to make that. But he did. And it happens, and it's unfortunate. And then you got a young guy that comes in there for a rep or two, and all of a sudden he's out of position. So those are the things that you have to do so it's not close anymore. Okay, thank you, guys.